Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
I get the honor and privilege of introducing someone to you who is one of the great Christian leaders in this nation. And I tell you, one of the things that speaks such great volumes to me about him is his humility. He is the bishop of 4 churches in 2 different countries. Yet he comes here every other week and plays that organ for you. He's in this with us. He's part of the family here. His name is Bishop Andrew James from Revival Time Tabernacle. I'll bring him up here in a moment. And I appreciate you still standing. I just got to tell you something. He's so special to me. His father went to be with the Lord about 5 years ago. He was a great general of the faith in this nation. He was like a father to my father. He was an amazing man of God. And I got to tell you a story real quick. This moment's not about me. It's about our speaker. But if you've been coming to the River, you know that I never wanted to do this. I'm a 5th generation PK. You know what that stands for? Poor kid. Pastor's kid. And I told the Lord, no. I've seen 5 generations before me do this, and I don't want that. They're all broke. They're all stressed out. They're all losing their hair. I don't want that. I want a nice suit, and I want to make some money. So I went to law school, and I got my law degree. And I ran from God, not in the sense of a prodigal, but I ran from my calling. And it's a real beautiful moment for me today to get to introduce this man up here, because I tell you, in this man's church at Revival Time Tabernacle, I was 17 years old, and Dr. Miles Monroe was preaching in that pulpit. And in the green room after his sermon, he said, "Son, get down on your knee." And I got down like this. He said, "What do you think, I'm going to knight you or something? Get down on both knees." I didn't know what he was doing. I got down on both knees. And he said, "Ryan, you're going to be a pastor who's going to speak to thousands of people every single week. And you're going to be on fire for God. And you're going to preach the gospel just like your dad and your dad's dad and your dad's dad's dad and your dad's dad's dad." Yeah. I know. But at the time, you know what I wanted to say to him? I wanted to say, "Bro, you're crazy. I just signed up for pre-law and law school." See, at this man's church is where I received the call of God on my life to do what I get to do here every week. So to have him come here, it's so special. He's here with his beautiful wife, Pastor Bridget. Give it up for her and their wonderful family. They have the most beautiful, incredible family. I've been talking too much. Give a big, warm River welcome to Bishop Reverend Andrew James. Come on, bro. I hope you're ready for some church.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Some noise. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Then come on, give him some praise. Up in here. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Listen. If God has truly been good to you, I want you to find a few people and tell them, "Lord, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord has been good to me." Come on, find somebody. "The Lord has been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me." Come on. Come on, testify about it. "The Lord's been good to me. He's been good to me." Now, here's the thing. If you really love the Lord, you should be getting excited that your brothers and sisters are testifying about how good God has been to them. How about we celebrate how good God has been to all of us? Lift up a praise in this place. Come on and give him glory. Come on and give him glory. Hey, somebody shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout it, yeah! All right. Listen. We're going to get into the word. Are you ready for the word tonight? Before you're seated, I just want to thank a few people. I want to thank Dr. Charles and Jennifer McVitie. Put your hands together for them. They're my family. I love you, sir. I want you to thank God for your pastor, the pastor of the river, Pastor Ryan McVitie and Lindsay McVitie. My brother and my sister. Now, my church is in the house. I heard they're here. Revival time, where you at? Where you at? Revival time, I love y'all. One more time, River family, make some noise! All right. Let's get into it. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. Wait a minute. I might not be able to get home. My wife is in the building. My beautiful, beautiful wife. I didn't forget you. I'm not going to stay on the couch tonight. Y'all give it up for my baby, Bridget. All right. Okay. Uh-oh. And my little children are here, too. John Mark, Jordan, and Jody. Y'all give it up for John Mark, Jordan, and Jody. All right. That's enough. Okay. Okay, all right. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. Let's look at the word real quick. Now. So those of you that have your Bibles, take them out. If you got them, take them out. If you got notes, you need to take some. All right. I'm going to read in your hearing, and then we're going to sit. All right. It says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Verse 23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Anybody believe in God tonight? Verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Wow. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. What God? And steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. River, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated, but before you're seated, I want you to get acquainted with your neighbor real quick. Smile at them. Come on, smile at them, whether you got, you know, straight teeth, crooked teeth. Some of you have summer teeth. Some are here and some are there. But you look better when you smile. Smile at them. Come on and tell them it's good to see you here tonight. Let's get this word. Okay, you can be seated. Our text today is going to show you what it looks like to take a stand on your knees. But isn't that what happens every time you get on your knees in prayer? Every time you go down on your knees in prayer, you are taking a stand. You are declaring God is your source. You are declaring, I will not live without having communication and communion and connection with God. You are telling the enemy this far and no further. Prayer is taking a stand with God. Somebody say with God. And when you take a stand with God, you are telling the world that your God is able to do anything. And in our text, Daniel took a stand on his knees. And you'll remember, some of you, that Daniel was a Hebrew captive. He was taken in Babylonian captivity when Babylon invaded and destroyed Jerusalem. And history tells us that when the children of Israel were taken, Daniel was just a teenager, around 15 years old. He was a young man who had made a decision from early on that he is going to live for God in an ungodly environment. And River Family, isn't that the decision that you and I have to make every day? We got to live for God in an ungodly environment. And let me tell you, if you didn't know, I tell Revival Time all the time, Christianity is a battleground and not a playground. You can sit around and play in sin if you want to, but the devil isn't playing for fun. He's playing for keeps. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, life is not a game. Christianity is not playing dress up and acting a part. It's not a playground, it's a battleground. And being a Christian, really living for God, requires you to take a stand for Jesus at any given time. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me when I say the stand that we take is normally controversial. I'll put it this way, to conform is comfortable, but to transform is controversial. To conform is peaceful, to transform is problematic. And this is what Daniel teaches us, as he is a captive himself. And the only thing that he has left is his communion with God. Because of the Babylonian invasion, his home is destroyed. His city is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. The people are in captivity. He's detached from everything that's familiar to him. They've even taken his name. And the only thing that he has left is his relationship with God. And Daniel teaches us that when a man, where are the men at? When a man has a strong relationship with God, he cannot be stopped. Let all the men say, you. Yeah. But also, when a woman has a strong relationship with God, she cannot be stopped. Let me hear all the ladies shout, hey. Y'all so crazy? But listen to me, prayer is your superpower. So that means we got a room full of superheroes tonight. When my relationship with God is strong, there is nothing I don't believe God for. My mother used to say these words all the time. She still says it. She says, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Look at your neighbor, tell him, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. River, your relationship with God is your superpower. And let me let you in on one little secret. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer normal. You have divine access to the supernatural. You have divine access to the power of God at work in you. You can call things that are not as though they are. The Bible says you can speak a word and it will be established. Do you believe that? Daniel lets us know that even if you're facing circumstances that are not preferable, if your relationship and your communion with God remains strong and consistent, you can handle anything. I said you can handle anything. You can face the problem. You can face the fire. You can face the trouble. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? So here's what happened. Here's where the trouble started. Look at somebody and tell them, here's where the trouble starts. Now many of you know this story, But bring your hearts and minds in so we can hear what God is saying tonight. Is that all right? I'm sure that you'll walk away with a different revelation of God through this very familiar scripture. When chapter 6 opens, in the first three verses, the Bible tells us that Daniel was a man of distinction. It says in verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself above the other governors for three reasons. The first reason is that the king elected him. Somebody say elected. He chose to raise up Daniel and put him in charge of the affairs of Babylon. Now, Daniel's new position wasn't solely based on his ability. It was because the king chose him. What made him distinct was that his new power and position was because of the king's favor. Somebody say favor. And when you look over your life and when you reflect on where you are, you can see and say that there are some good things that have happened in my life that I did not pray for. It was just because the king decided to give me what he gave me. And you and I call that favor. Brothers and sisters, when you celebrate and praise God for the stuff that you received and prayed for, that's great. But there are so many other things that God has done in your life. You didn't fast for it. You didn't pray for it. You didn't seek counsel for it. Some things God has just given you because he wanted you to have it. I thought I wasn't the only one that could praise God for the favor of God on your life. There are some things that I've got that have nothing to do with me and everything to do with the king and his favor toward me. Look at your neighbor and tell him favor ain't fair. But I'm glad I got it. It's got nothing to do with me and everything to do with the God that I serve. It wasn't just Daniel's election. It was also Daniel's excellence. Somebody say excellence. Verse 3 says Daniel had an excellent spirit. That word excellent in its etymology means to excel or be preeminent. It means to surpass all others around you. Daniel's character and attitude superseded that of others. River, he wasn't mediocre. He wasn't average. He was excellent. Say excellent. His character was excellent. His attitude was excellent. He was preeminent. And I really have to applaud him because, watch this, it's hard to have good character while you're in captivity. Because your circumstances ought to make you bitter. Hello. You see, it's hard to have good character when you're sick in your body. It's hard to have good character when your relationships are dysfunctional. It's hard to have good character when your family is imploding. It's hard to have good character when you're facing disappointment and depression and despair. It's hard to have good character when life is not going well for you. And some of you ought to be thankful that with all that you're facing, you still can walk around with a smile on your face. You can still find joy, yeah, in life. Because the truth is, River family, if you're observant, you can see people all the time walking around with their heads down. And you can tell that they're carrying the world on their shoulders. Am I talking right in here? But thank God that you can testify that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can thank God that your attitude doesn't reflect your reality. Because the truth is, you might have a bad reality, but you still got a good attitude. And we have to consciously change our mindset to have, the old school used to say it like this, an attitude of gratitude. That means praising through problems. If problems come up against you, now's the time to pull out a praise. Praise is a weapon that will change your attitude. Praise is a weapon that will confuse your enemy. Praise is a weapon that will bring joy into your life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. I wonder if I've got a few people who can just give God a praise in here. Come on, somebody, give God a praise in here. I wonder if somebody with a bad reality can still say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Somebody give God glory in here. Somebody say yes. All right, sit. If you praise God through your problems, you can have a good attitude in a bad reality. Tell your neighbor and tell him, I like your attitude. All right, maybe the king was expecting him to be bitter and angry because he's in captivity. But he's in captivity with a good attitude. So he's got the king's election. He's walking in excellency. He's got an excellent spirit. And now he's being elevated. Somebody say elevated. River family, when you honor God, when prayer and praise are your weapons, when you acknowledge God in everything that you do, God will elevate you. Can you receive it? But here's where it gets tough. Verse 3 says, the Bible says that of all the governors and presidents, the king chose Daniel over them. He actually wanted to make Daniel the leader over the entire realm. So here's where the drama starts. Tell somebody, here comes the drama. All right, come here. Y'all over there, come here. Elevation, come here, and promotion are good things. But drama will always come with your elevation. Let me say it again for those back there that had a long day. Listen to me. When you get elevated, don't expect everybody to come to your party. Because the truth is, there are those who will have an allergic reaction to your promotion. When God decides to raise you up, there will always be somebody that will have an allergic reaction to the favor of God on your life. Can I show you what the reaction is? Tell your neighbor, don't talk to me right now. Shh, this is your point. Here's what the text says in verse 4. When he raised up Daniel, the Bible says, the haters had a meeting. Oh, my Lord. The haters had a meeting, watch this, and the meeting provoked this thought. We need to find occasion. Somebody say occasion. That's what verse 4 says. We need to find occasion against Daniel so we can let the king know he made a bad decision. Come here. When we were on the same level, we were cool. When we were both broke, we were cool. But hear me, your friendships will always be tested when God raises up one of your friends. Oh yeah, some of y'all know. Some of y'all are testifying right now. That's how you'll know if they're friends. That's how you know if they're friends or enemies dressed up as friends. We call them frenemies. Anybody ever heard of frenemies? And when Daniel got elevated, they had a meeting to find occasion. So what are they really struggling with? Can I tell you what they're struggling with? They're struggling with the fact that if Daniel gets elevated over them, that means that the king will put a Jew over the Gentiles. That means that the one that was once under them is now over them. The one that used to be captive is now captain. Come here. They're struggling with the fact that the king raised up a minority and put him over the majority. And they can't handle the fact that the God that we serve sometimes has favor on the poorer one. The God that we serve sometimes has favor on the lesser one. The God that we serve sometimes has favor on the captive. The God that we serve sometimes has favor on the reject. Can I tell you, don't judge my process by my current position. Because the God I serve doesn't always give his favor to who's on top. Sometimes he'll snatch who's below and bring them above the people who are on top. Frenemies are all right as long as you stay in your place. But God has a way of raising up people who everybody is okay with as long as they stay down. So you're going to put a Jew over a Gentile? And then you're going to give him a government seat? In Babylon? Where he used to be a captive? Nah, that ain't going to happen. So watch this now. Daniel's election, his excellence, and his elevation all lead to envy. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. That word occasion in the Hebrew is the word illah. Let the river say illah. It literally means a pretext that arises artificially. Pretext is to put out information that isn't true to conceal the truth. Pretext is when people hate you so bad that they'll create a lie about you to mislead people from the truth about you. That's what the word occasion means. They created an issue where there was no issue. Tap your neighbor and tell them this is an issue. They created a situation because they couldn't find one. I didn't make it up, it's in the text. They said, since we can't find nothing wrong with him, let's make up something and push it so much so we can force the king to create a law based on a lie. Come here. We know that he prays a lot, so let's create a law around prayer. Look at the law, verse 7. They went to go meet with the king and said, hey, king, all of us governors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree. You missed it. They lied again because they said in verse 7, look at it. They said they all consulted together. Daniel is one of the governors, and he wasn't consulted about the consult. And the king thinks so highly of Daniel that this idea was one that he must have been a part of. But watch how it goes. We need to make it a law that anybody who prays to God over the next 30 days will be found in violation of the decree. And if they're found in violation, the penalty will be that they're thrown in the lion's den. Watch it. They're going to make a law that makes prayer illegal. Because one thing we know about Daniel is that Daniel's superpower is prayer. Daniel's superpower is communion with God. So they didn't create a law based on a lie about Daniel. They based it on what they already knew about Daniel. That Daniel was a prayer warrior. I wonder if I've got a few prayer warriors in here tonight. I said, I wonder if I got a few prayer warriors in here tonight. People that aren't afraid to get on their knees before God and cry out. So, River, I started thinking. And I had to talk to God about this. And I thought maybe Daniel chapter 6 is not about Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe Daniel chapter 6 is about the lions in Daniel's den. Look at your neighbor and ask them, who are the lions around you? Roaring and seeking who they can destroy. Talking and trying to set you up. Trying to sabotage you. Trying to bring you down. Trying to come against what you're doing right. Maybe you're not on your way to a lion's den. Maybe you've got lions in your den. Because when we read Daniel chapter 6, it wasn't the mouth of the lions that was Daniel's problem. It was the mouths of people that were outside of the den. Tell your neighbor you better watch the people around you. Because they're the ones that are going to put their mouth against you. Tap your neighbor and tell them, watch your den. This ain't about Daniel in the lion's den. This is about the lions in Daniel's den. People that he knows. People who know him. And the litmus test of your friendships will be seen in your elevation. You're going to know how people really feel about you once you get blessed. You're going to know how people really feel about you once you get married. Once God gives you a new job. Once God raises up your name and opens doors for you and gives you a platform. You're going to find out for real. The text teaches us that Daniel has a distinction that made his peers have a reaction. But it's not only Daniel's distinction. The text teaches us about Daniel's devotion. Somebody say devotion. Get your Bibles and look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And when he knew that the decree had been signed, he went home. He opened the window and prayed as he did before." Don't miss this. When Daniel found out that prayer was illegal, the first thing he did, I didn't make it up, the first thing he did was pray. He took a stand on his knees. And by the way, I'm not going to pray secretly. I'm going to open the window. I'm going to open the window so you can drive by my house if you want to. You can see inside my house if you want to. You can see what I'm wearing. You can hear what I'm doing. You can watch me from a distance or up close and personal. It doesn't matter to me because you've been doing it anyway. Because the only way that you developed this law against me is because you were stalking me. Oh, I'm preaching in here. The only way you knew how to develop a law against prayer is because you knew I had a prayer life. You knew that my prayer life and my communion with God was regular. Because when you can't find anything wrong, you're going to make what I do right look wrong. Listen, when people can't find wrong with you, they'll make what you do right look wrong. Okay, let me move. River fam, don't let envy stop you. Don't let jealousy stop you. Don't let the haters make you give up. Take a stand on your knees. Take it to God in prayer. Look at what Daniel did. Daniel says, "Here's what I'm going to do. Since I sense you're trying to frame me, I'm going to go ahead and pray anyway. And I'm going to open the window so you can hear me calling on the name of the Lord." And River, Daniel's decision to pray anyway teaches us one thing. Here it is. It teaches us that if Daniel went to pray after it was made illegal, then it's a sign that praying should make you fearless. When I pray, when I get down on my knees and I say, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee," I have activated the fearless mechanism in my mind and in my body. And when it is activated, there's nothing you can do to me. Because I'm in communion with the Most High God, with the God of the universe, and he's in communion with me. A prayer life will make you fearless. A prayer life will make you stare cancer in the face and say, "You can't defeat me. I'm defeating you." A prayer life will make you see lack and say, "My God shall supply all my needs." A prayer life will make you see the impossible and say, "With God, all things are possible." A prayer life will make you walk around confident in this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, "I'm fearless because I'm in communion with God." No government can stop my prayer life. No person can stop my prayer life. Try to stop me, I'll open a window. Try to stop me, I'll fling open the front door so you can hear me pray. I'm going to pray in your face. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Somebody shout in here. Somebody shout in here. I'm taking a stand on my knees. I'm taking a stand on my knees. I'm taking a stand for my family. I'm taking a stand for my country. I'm taking a stand for my children. I'm taking a stand for my community. Somebody shout yes. I'm taking a stand on my knees. They want him to stop praying for 30 days. Daniel says, "I can't stop praying for 30 minutes. Apparently, you don't know that I will let nothing separate me from the love of God with Christ Jesus. Apparently you don't know that the Bible says men ought to always pray and never faint. Apparently you don't know that we ought to pray without ceasing. You took me from my home. You took me from my family. You took me from my temple. You took my name. You took my identity. What you're not gonna do is take away my Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Look at somebody and tell them, as long as I've got Jesus, I got everything I need. As long as I've got Jesus, I've got everything that I need. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Daniel says, I ain't scared. Tell your neighbor, I'm not scared. Go and tell him what I'm doing. And so they go and tell on him. And the king comes to him and says, hey, Daniel, you been praying? He said, yeah. He said, you know I got to throw you in the lion's den, don't you? He said, do what you got to do. And he put him in. I'm rushing. Stand to your feet, everybody. We're rushing. But he puts him in. Daniel realizes something. That the prayer that he's praying is not to stop him from going where he's going. The prayer that he's praying is preparing him for where he's going. Jesus prayed in the garden, if this cup can pass from me, that would be cool. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He wasn't praying to prevent him from going to the cross. He was praying to prepare him for the cross. Look at somebody and tell them, you're not always praying for prevention. Sometimes you're praying for preparation. Let me move. The king told him to get him, come on out of there. When he came out walking. He came out talking. He came out giving God glory. And I'm going to tell you this, River family, when you are put in situations in your life where you've got to face the lions, where you got to face the evil, where you got to face your enemy, your God is faithful. He's faithful to you that you're going to come walking out of there. You're going to come out of there praising the God of your salvation, because he'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that tonight? I said, do you believe that tonight? Watch this. Last thing and I'm done. The text says the Lord sent his angel. It does not say the Lord sent an angel. It says the Lord sent his angel. That's specific. And the angel shut the lion's mouths. The angel was singular. The mouths were plural. God didn't need multiple angels. All he needed was one angel to shut the mouths of the lions. That one angel came down from heaven and went in, and Daniel came out alive. River family, one Friday, there was another one that came down from heaven. He stepped into man's den. He came in so you and I could come out alive. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Is there anybody that's glad tonight that Jesus brought you out? He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. If you've been brought out, stop standing around like you're still in the den and give God a praise. Give God a praise. He's a deliverer. He's a deliverer. Come on, put your hands. Come on, put your arms around your neighbor. Come on, find a neighbor. Put your arms around your neighbor. Come on, now shake them and rock them. Come on, shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Lean with it, rock with it. Lean with it, rock with it. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you're coming out. Don't get used to being in, because God is bringing you out. If you believe it, give God a praise in here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for every life that's in here tonight. We thank you for your favor on our lives. We thank you that you're concerned with what concerns us. We thank you that even though we might be in a den, you can shut the mouths of the lions. Thank you that you are in control of the circumstances around us. So we give ourselves to you. Come on, give yourselves to him one more time tonight. We give ourselves to you. We give our lives to you. We put our hands in your hands. Have your way with us and through us. You are our God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. If you receive it, put those hands together and give God glory.